Never lose yourself. You can breathe again.
Touch her, baby daddy.
Yeah.
Touch.
You don't wash your hair for a month.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the O Collective Just Like You podcast. We are Diana, Winxie, Simona, and Eden, and we're all about female intimate wellness and pleasure. In this podcast, we are sharing insights from modern third culture kids on relationships, sex, and intimacy to help you navigate your way through life. Today, we're talking to Valeska, who grew up in Aruba and moved to the Netherlands when she was 15. She went to university and studied media and communications. Valeska is a true marketing trooper. She's been with LVMH, Nike, G-Star, and currently working as marketing manager at Netflix.
On the private side of her life, she's been together with her Polish fiance, Mata, for over 10 years now, and just became a mom to her newborn son, Gabriel.
In this episode, we talk about the nuances she experienced growing up in different countries when it comes to sexuality, dating, and relationships, and her secret sauce to keeping her relationship healthy, especially now with changed family dynamics.
Hi, Valeska. Hi, Valeska.
Hey, how are you? How's everyone doing?
Good. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here. I don't think I've ever done a podcast before, so it's definitely something new.
It's also our sixth episode right now. So for us, it's also quite new. So we're all newbies. All right. We already did a little bit of an intro. So we're just going to jump into the icebreaker immediately. Our icebreaker for today for you is, when did you masturbate for the first time?
I don't know if I remember specifically the moment, but I must have been in my teens, I think.
Mm. In Aruba. Okay.
Yeah. I think I was still in Aruba for sure. I don't remember the age, maybe 13.
Ah.
Something like this.
Yeah. I feel that that is an average when it also comes to our podcast guests. I was pretty young.
Really?
We already alluded to that. Yeah, the first. I was pretty young. I was younger than 10 years old.
Like, why?
Yeah. I don't know. I was bored. Like, you know, my parents had a restaurant. I'll just be upstairs in the restaurant and then, you know, exploring.
But how did you find out about it? Because you didn't like have older siblings or anything.
It's just me and my body. I'm a finger.
Oh, wow.
I'm just testing
okay.
things out.
I might have been younger too. I'm not entirely sure. A bit younger.
Mm. Then following from that comment, can you like describe the feeling of orgasms in general now?
It just really feels like a release, I would say. Yeah. It really feels like when it happens, it's just like you can breathe again almost in a way. That's how I would describe it. Mm. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think it happened the first time that I had it when I was like intimate with someone was with this, my current partner now, fiance, whatever you want to call him, this guy.
Baby daddy. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was quite late when I first had sex. I was almost 21 years old. So I was late.
I know you're a baby mama. Life.
I know I'm a baby mama. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Valeska. So you grew up in Aruba, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you were growing up in Aruba until now, what is the one thing you learned about sexuality when you were growing up?
In Aruba, when I was younger, like with the friends, I hadn't really talked about it. There were, you know, always when you were in high school, there were rumors of people doing things.
Yeah.
Nobody really knew. We weren't really openly talking about it. Whereas I think when I moved to the Netherlands, it was totally different. My peers were much more sexually active. I'm not sure if active is the word, more open, definitely open to talking, discussing. You would hear so many more things than you would hear when I was back home in Aruba. And the biggest difference for me is that there's way more openness in the Netherlands than there is on the island, for sure.
All right. Valeska, we also know that you've been together now for more than 10 years with Mata, your baby daddy, your fiance, your upcoming husband. Can you give us the secret sauce to keeping the relationship healthy and thriving? Or how did you manage to get through to 10 years?
I mean, honestly, when I stepped into this, I had no idea that this was going to be this 10 years in. But I have to say that there's, of course, ups and downs, but it's been really nice so far. And I think it's just communicating. Like for me, I'm very open and I talk. He's very different in that aspect, but definitely being the one to push, to talk, have conversations. I really push him out of his comfort zone in that aspect.
Is it because of cultural differences? You're from Aruba and he's from Poland?
Yeah. They don't talk about things in Poland.
How do you push him then? You just like tell him?
In the beginning, I mean, it was of course harder, but as the years went by, it's easier to talk. Again, like you don't talk about like mental health or feelings, things like this, not really talked about.
But you guys talk about it right now.
Yeah, we do now. Yeah.
Then do you think that is one of the foundations?
Yeah, definitely communicating. Yeah. And also like, I think we both are we're very different. I think if you would take us as two people, we're complete opposites. Like he's a more introvert, I'm like super extrovert, and it's just, we're worlds apart. But somehow it just, when it comes together, there's still so much common ground. Like he might be into something, or like, for example, he loves like road biking. It might not be something I'm interested in necessarily, but I would do it with him. So we do something together. So we would always kind of find this common ground. Like he doesn't necessarily like to do things that I like to do, but then he still does it. So then, you know, we have some time together. But like this road biking thing, honestly, I would never have said, but now because he likes it, I enjoy it too. And then when we go on vacation together, he bought me a bike. We take the bikes. I go with him, not all the time when I feel like it, but it's just something that we can share together. And I think having that curiosity also, just like, hey, I read this, and he might not necessarily be interested in it, but he listens to what I have to say, like me about my meditation, about all the spirituality stuff in the books I read. He might not necessarily be interested, but he's very much open to listening to what I have to say. And, you know, when I listen to a podcast, I'm like, yeah, I heard this, like, it's very interesting, let's try this. When I went hardcore vegan, I'm like, I'm going to do all the research. He's like, okay, if you cook, I'll eat it. You know, it's very much like open to trying new things.
So it's communications and being open to
trying new things, like having common ground. Like, I think it's all important stuff. I mean, and we've also, like, we met when we were 20, in our 20s, we're now in our 30s. And it's also been an evolution of the both of us. Like, I've changed a lot only these past 2 years, and he's changed a lot. So we're also very different than when we met, like 10 years ago. And that's also very interesting to see, because we've grown together. And but still, like, we were discussing it a couple of weeks ago, like we are together, and we can do things together, but we could also, we both each have our own things. We're still our own people. We're not completely enmeshed. And that's also so important, that we both have that sense of independence. Like, you know, I can still be me and he can still be him without us having to be one person all the time. I think that's also another thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very important
point
to a relationship, to staying true to yourself
certain way,
and having your own life next to your relationship life, being your own person.
Exactly. And like, even like our friends, like we were discussing, okay, so who are we going to invite? Like, we're going to get married. Who's coming? We have one mutual friend in 10 years time. And then he has his friends and I have my friends. And then we hang out sometimes, but a common mutual friend, we have one.
All right. So going back to you again. So we know you've had your first baby. And what we're really interested about is you mentioned that you actually did a Chinese routine of staying inside for a month, being on a strict dietary regime and sticking to certain routines.
I have another friend. She's also Chinese British. And she gave me this book, The First 40 Days, about postpartum and how basically it is approached in China, and how indeed there's this routine. You stay inside for 40 days, you don't go out. And there's so many reasons as to why they say the body needs to stay warm, the mother needs to stay inside with the kid, and certain things that you eat, to everything warm, nothing cold, no cold vegetables, no cold fruit. Everything needs to be warm that you're eating. And I thought it was super interesting because my mom is from Dominican Republic, and they have a similar routine as well. You know, it's like you don't wash your hair for a month after birth. You need to eat specific things. You need to like avoid other stuff. Indeed, you also don't go out because they say like your body's like completely open and you're very susceptible to catching a bunch of stuff and getting sick. And I kind of was already looking into that. And I then with that sort of with the book, I kind of did it more the Chinese way. So it was literally me preparing broths. Like, I've never boiled a broth or made a broth in my life. I was like, okay, I'm gonna meal prep my broths and freeze them so I have them to eat, you know, because it's important, because I really have to say that it was nice to have it ready, but also because you don't have time to cook, but it was also like eating very healthy, and I think it helped a lot in my recovery as well. So it was like ginger fried rice almost every day, and like bone broth and chicken broth. And I had even my friend that gave me the book, she came over and she made this like Chinese herbal soup, and she brought congee with chicken and ginger. You know, it was really nice to kind of have that. And indeed, I didn't leave the house for at least 3 weeks.
Nice. Would you recommend it?
Definitely.
The Chinese routine?
Yeah. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just makes everything, it's quite simple. Like, you're so sensitive to opinions, what people have to say, to the weather, to whatever it is that you see outside. And honestly, you give birth, you don't want to wear clothes. All you're walking around in like these like little hospital pants with like these mega pads. You feel terrible. You're sort of learning how to breastfeed. I don't understand why people go outside. I really don't. But I respect it, but I don't understand it.
What is one thing old Valeska might have thought, well, this is weird, or this is awkward, or this is something that doesn't make sense, and where you now think, oh, this really makes sense, and I don't really care what other people think about it, but it's
the staying inside part.
Yeah.
It was quite, oh, you stayed inside for 3 weeks? Whoa, did you not get cabin fever? How did you do that?
Yeah.
It was, and the old me honestly would never, I'm not gonna lie, the old me would never, the old me would be itching after 2 days to go outside.
So then if you were home for 3 weeks, was your fiance was, you know, coming in and out and stuff like that, like, and you have your baby and your life is pretty hectic in that moment, or overwhelming, I'm sure, like, were you able to cater to any of your own intimate wellness?
No, there was none of that. I could hardly take a shower.
Because of like soreness and recovery?
No, it was like because there's just no time. Like, and then as soon as the baby's tiny, it's like feeding. You're basically a feeding machine. That's all you are. It's funny because I just spoke to a friend of mine. She just had a baby like 3 weeks ago now. And she's like, and I spoke to her. She's like, it bothers me that you're just a feeding machine.
So what are the other aspects then that how you take care of yourself? If it's not like necessarily intimate wellness, is it the food aspect that you still do the Chinese bone broths? And
yeah, I still do it.
Porridges? Is it working out, or how do you cater to your wellness in general then?
Yeah. So for me, it's like taking the moment that the baby is napping. I usually then take the moment to have a shower, or actually wake up before the baby wakes up in the morning to have a shower before my partner leaves for work. Just having 15 minutes in the shower that I can wash my face, you know, that I can put oil in my body. This is for me like important, making sure we have like broth in the fridge that I can quickly whip up, making sure I'm eating well, I think is important. And for me, I also realized that having that my wellness moment is having that 1 or 2 hour a week that I can just be on my own and just leave the house. And just, you know, last week I went to do my nails. So exciting. It's been weeks or months even. I was just so happy. And of course I miss my baby, but I was also just happy to be away. And we have a dog. And for me, it's also just taking that dog out at the end of the day for a 20 minute walk is like my moment. Mm-hmm. That's like how I kind of, I'm literally just with the dog. I don't take the phone. I don't take anything. I'm just walking outside. I'm just with my dog. And it's also a moment for me to kind of be on my own. I think the old me, when I was younger, being on my own was like, what is that? Like, I couldn't be on my own for more than 2 hours. This is new. The person that I am now, I really enjoyed being by myself. And I don't have any of that anymore. So I really enjoy those tiny moments of alone time. Yeah.
You start appreciating things that you don't have. When you were younger, you had that in abundance, time by yourself. So you didn't.
Yeah, I really enjoy being by myself every once in a while. Even if it's like 20 minutes a day walking the dog or driving the car somewhere on my own.
Mm. All the little things. Well, we had a question in here, and I don't know how relevant it is right now, but do you have any recommendations then in terms of sex positions before, during, and after pregnancy? But it seems that like after pregnancy, it's like you haven't really had the time. Any tips?
Well, that's not true. We jumped back into it quite fast. I was just curious though, to see what it was like.
And?
You know what I mean? Yeah, it was fine. It was no different for me. It didn't feel different. So I was like, does it feel different for you? He's like, no, I think it's similar. I'm like, similar is not the same though. What's the difference?
Yeah, what changed?
And?
No, but he was like, no, it's the same. I don't really see a difference. So it's no different than when it was before, to be honest. Maybe you might have to do it faster now because we don't have time, or the baby's like, you know, oh, we have a moment now, but it's really no difference.
Did you try during pregnancy at all?
In the beginning, but then after it just gets really difficult. And honestly, you don't feel cute. Although I do have to say, during my pregnancy, I felt very cute.
I remember that. Very confident about yourself, right? You just felt good in your bone body.
I felt very good. Yeah. So there was a lot of self-care for me there, because I wasn't getting any. So it was me taking care of myself.
During pregnancy.
Yeah.
So then during the pregnancy, it's recommended then to use a vibe. Is it?
I would say so. I mean, for me, I was, because it's like, I don't know, I think I can't believe I'm saying this now to be published somewhere, but I literally before had only told one friend that I felt, you feel so turned on almost all the time because there's just so much blood rushing through your body or something.
Yeah, hormones.
And I was literally on my phone Googling, like, is it normal?
That's what I've also heard more often from other pregnant friends, that a lot of women feel very, very horny when they're pregnant.
Yeah.
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 It's a normal thing.
And mother was like, no, you're just so, I can't, the baby's there. And that's also a thing that happens very often, because I thought I was on my own until I mentioned it to a friend. And it's like, no, my partner says the exact same thing to me. Yeah. I literally had to cry to get some. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I had to respect his boundaries at some point. I was like, okay, I'm just going to let that go, because it was getting like awkward for him. I was like, okay, fine. I'll just deal with it myself.
Was he okay then? Was he okay by you dealing with it by yourself?
I don't know if he knew. Maybe he knows now if you post this and he'll coincidentally run into it.
But does he know that you use sex toys? He does.
Yeah, he does. He knew. Yeah, he knows.
And he's okay with it.
Yeah, he's fine with it. Yeah.
Then I'm sure he's fine with it, especially when you're pregnant and need it even more.
Yeah, he was fine. I think he's known and he's fine with it.
Okay. Yeah. Is he fine with it for you to bring it into partner play as well?
We never discussed that, you know. I was reading this question, I'm like, oh, we never really discussed that. We don't really, I think we just enjoy the two of us, and we don't really need anything else. Like, we haven't felt the need to do anything crazy or anything. Maybe I'll try that now, though. I'll suggest it. I'm curious.
It's another topic for under communication agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really,
I might not even mention, I might just say, maybe you want to try this and just bring it in.
I have a friend, I gave her one of her toys as well. And she, like, I met her this weekend, and she's surely, you know her, super enthusiastic about it. She says, every time I'm together with my partner, she just brings it into partner play. And she's like, she loves it because our size, it's not the biggest size. So he also doesn't feel super intimidated. And also just during play, it's small. I don't want to promote too much product here, but she said it's good. It's a good format to bring into play because some of them are so big. And then if you bring that into intercourse with your partner, it's just like, it's just a nuisance. Whereas this is small enough and big enough to play with it together. So try it.
Yeah, I'll do that. I read the question. I was like, maybe I should try.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What is the one piece of advice you would all girls and women out there want to know or to realize with all of your experience?
All of my experience. I think for me, it is never lose yourself. I think it's just important to stay true to who you are in your relationships, but also, you know, of course there's things that you take over from your partner and vice versa, but just that core that of who you are, that's really something that you need to harness and make sure you keep, even though that it changes with time, but just don't lose yourself. Because I've seen people, or you know, friends around me that are in a relationship, they're 100% in, and then it ends and they don't know who they are. And it's the same with people when they have a job, you know, they love the job, they're like 110% in the job all the time, they lose the job, they don't know who they are. So I think it's important to kind of remember to not lose yourself in everything that you're doing.
Very strong advice.
Very good. Yes, well said.
Yes, wise words.
Okay, another one from me. What would you advise upcoming baby mamas on sexual wellness?
I would say is just go with the flow. I mean, honestly, the first time that I was going to have sex after pregnancy, I thought, oh my God, do we have to make this into a thing? Is it going to be a thing? It wasn't a thing. It's just like, you know, just go with the flow. Like, and I think also just really listen to your body, because I was fortunate enough that have birth and delivery was not easy, but everything went well. So I didn't have any complications. I didn't have any crazy tears, things like this, but everyone's super different in that aspect. It's just so really like listen to your body and listen to what your body's capable of doing, what your body's saying. Baby daddies, if your baby mama's feeling very cute and you don't want to touch her, yeah.
Touch her? The tip here is touch her. Touch her, baby daddy. Yeah. Touch
her.
Two hands.
What would be your like favorite self-love quote that you would share to all our listeners out there?
Stay true to yourself, to who you are in all aspects of your life. I think for me, that's what's kept me going. Stay true in, you know, who you are in your work and your values and your relationships. I think it's so important, because I think in the society we live in, there's so much stimuli and you just want to go. And then you kind of, you know, so easily lose yourself. And I think that's been a really big thing for me these past couple of years.
Yeah. Ultimate self-love.
Yeah.
Being true to yourself.
Yeah. I would say so.
Right. This was it.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. We had a lot of good insights here.
Oh, I'm really curious to see this.
Yeah. We have as a closing, do you want people to find you? Probably not, right?
No, people can find me.
She was just talking about how she didn't want people to bother her for 40 days.
I'm like, I'm one of those people on Instagram that are on Instagram, but I never post anything, or I post That's something me, once Steve. In a blue moon. That's you me. Know, I just go and look at people's stuff, and no, nobody should find me.
Okay. All right. We're gonna leave that one out.